March 12th. It was our day off, Krista's and mine, the day he showed up. The day before, we were discussing our future.
Walker. Walker, where are you now?
Yo, Krista.
Yo, Walker. You're feeling pretty good.
I've been thinking.
Uh-oh. Did it hurt?
Hardy, her. I have been thinking that I'm too conventional.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm supposed to be on the road, right? Like, writing a novel and just drifting from place to place, seeing the world like Henry Miller or somebody, right?
Yeah.
So look at me. I get as far as Toronto, I get a steady job driving a cab, and then when we started living together, you know what happened?
What?
I automatically wanted everything to be, like, normal. Jeez. Like, I roll my own cigarettes, like, big deal, like, daring, eh?
Oh, I get it. You've discovered that you're a phony. That makes you happy.
No. It's like I'm aware. Self-awareness. You just have to keep focused on what it was you wanted to do in the first place. Look at you. You're focused. You want your own apartment, so you'll be free to come and go whenever you want.
If I can ever find one.
And me? I'm rededicating myself to art. The call of the open road and rock and roll.
Great.
Yeah, feels good. And blues too, of course. Sonny Boy Williamson.
Oh, yeah, of course.
So, have you got a pickup for me?
No, but I got a message for you.
Oh, what's that?
Bullshit, Walker. Bullshit.
Krista? Krista's like that. I mean, she's tough. When she was small, she had to go through a lot of operations, like breaking and resetting bones and things like that, so she could have as normal a life as possible. Even so, she has to live in a wheelchair most of the time. She can use her crutches for short distances, but it tires her out. So she could have given up lots of times, felt sorry for herself. But I guess whenever she got feeling like that, she just said to herself, bullshit. She doesn't like mind games. She thought I was talking about the open road because she was talking about getting her own apartment. Who was the most dependent? Who could be the coolest? Who could just walk away? Testing things, you know? But I wasn't. I mean, I was just saying I wanted to get back to what it was I wanted to do in the first place. Mainly, that's what I was saying. Anyway, we were kind of irritating each other a lot, and the air in my apartment over the pawn shop was getting more or less electric, so it was a relief when Wilson Germansky showed up.
Hey, Walker. Yeah, it's me, man.
Germansky?
Hey, don't wear it out.
Hey, nice place, man.
Yeah, what are you doing here?
Your mother, she gave me her address. Oh, I got something for you. I don't know what it is. I think it's a frozen meatloaf or something. It weighs a ton.
Thanks. I mean, what are you doing in Toronto?
Hi.
Hey. Hi, how you doing?
Oh, fine.
Oh, Krista, this is, Wilson Germansky. He's from Big River.
We went to school together. Flash and me.
You were a little younger.
Yeah, I was younger.
Flash?
Yeah, well, some of the guys, they called me. This is Krista.
Hey, Krista. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too. Why don't you sit down?
Wilson Germansky, about 5'7", curly red hair. He was a bit of a goofball. At least that's what most of us thought back in Big River. He was always kind of there, dancing around the edge of our gang, trying too hard to be noticed. The kind of guy who shows up in the pictures in a yearbook being dumped headfirst into a garbage can. Now he was sitting on my sofa in my apartment on Church Street, surrounded by his backpack, a sleeping bag, and a large duffel bag. It didn't look good.
Hey, one thing I don't understand. How come Walker's mother never said anything about you?
Well, I don't know. Maybe she doesn't know about me. What do you know about me?
Well,
I mean, I could just be living next door. I could just be borrowing a cup of sugar.
What a goofball. Same old Germansky, except his face looked different, thinner. And his hair was weird, kind of shaved off at the sides and moosed up on top. And he was wearing an embroidered buckskin shirt under his jean jacket. It looked like it had big flowers on it. And cowboy boots with the highest heels I'd ever seen.
I guess I jumped to the wrong conclusion. Kick me in the ass.
No, you didn't. You're right. I was just teasing you.
So you two are, yeah, well, that's what I thought. Like, I know about these things, man. Sex is my life.
Hey, mine too.
Wilson, what are you doing here? I mean, what are you doing in Toronto?
Hey, you'll never believe this. It's going to blow your mind. You ready?
Yeah.
You are looking at a professional entertainer.
Like what?
Well, like, I strip. I'm a male stripper.
What?
Yeah, it's great. I started about a year ago. I played all kinds of places. Sioux Lookout, Dryden, Kenora. I paid my dues, man. I got a great act, and I am here ready to hit the big time. Unbelievable, eh?
Yeah.
Here, let me show you.
Terrific.
First of all, you gotta have an act.
Right on.
Women don't like you to come on and pull your clothes off. They want to be entertained. They want to have fun, and they like things with a sense of humor.
Right on.
So I was thinking, what do I call myself? I need, like, a name, and I was looking at Germansky. Germansky. And it hit me. Ski man.
Ski man?
Yeah, ski man. I come out on this little pair of cut-down skis. Well, so I kind of have to hop. And I wear a toque and goggles and tearaway jacket and pants. My mom made them for me. They got Velcro on all the seams. And ski boots. And poles, man. I even got poles. And the women, you wouldn't believe it. They just go wild. Here, I'll show you. Just let me put my music on. You don't mind.
No!
Hey, easy on that pick. That's Sonny Boy.
Okay. And so I come up, sort of like this.
Go, Wilson, go!
Then I push up my goggles and I look around.
Yeah!
And then I kind of slalom around.
Jeez, I don't know what it is about Big River, but it sure does breed a lot of space cadets. He got down as far as taking off his buckskin shirt. Then he stopped. Krista said she'd write out a check, but he stopped anyway. Actually, it was kind of fun. It was kind of fun once she got by all his hyper stuff. It was like somebody opened up the window and let in some fresh air. Like it reminded Krista and me that we were supposed to be having a good time. It was our day off, so that night, there we were. Krista and I sleeping on the pull-out sofa, just kind of holding each other and being thankful we had each other to hold. And Wilson was across the room, sleeping on the floor on top of the sofa cushions, his open sleeping bag pulled over him. It was peaceful. We lived together for about a week while Wilson tried to get in to see this guy who ran an agency that booked dancers and set up auditions. Then one day, he didn't come home.
Walker. Walker, you there?
Yeah. DuPont and Christie. You got a pickup?
I just called the apartment.
Again?
No answer. Look, he's not there. It's been 6 days, Walker. What's happened to him?
He's a guy. Nothing's happened to him. He'll call us when he wants to.
It's not like him. He's thoughtful.
He's also a flake. Look, he took all his gear, even his skis. He moved out, that's all. If he wants to call, he'll call.
I think you should look for him.
Why?
I'll call me some on my side of the bed. Hello?
Hey, man.
Yeah?
Hey, man.
Wilson? Is that you?
Is it Wilson?
How's it going?
Yeah. Okay. So where are you?
Where is he?
I just asked him that. Where are you?
Hey, man. Hey, man.
Wilson, what's wrong? What's the matter?
I don't know. I don't know what's happening. I can't feel my legs, man.
What?
I don't know. I can't. Oh, man.
Wilson?
Oh, man.
Hey, Wilson, are you there?
What, did he hang up?
No. I think he dropped the phone. Wilson! Hey, Wilson! Come on, man!
What?
I think I should go look for him. I knew the name of the agency Wilson had gone to, so I figured I'd start there. Starting there turned out to be a kind of hole-in-the-wall office on Gerrard Street, and a little white-haired man in bedroom slippers and old-fashioned suspenders, surrounded by glossy photographs of smiling young women with very large breasts, and guys wearing nothing at all but what looked like slingshots. He handed me a sheet with lists of clubs, addresses, phone numbers. There were about 30 of them.
Hi there.
Oh, hi. Is, Mr. Lucan in?
He's busy.
Oh.
Oh, you can sit down and wait if you want. He'll be like, well, not long.
Oh, okay.
And your name is?
Walker.
Walker. That's cute. Like the walker, you just kind of walk around.
What?
Yeah, well, it's better than Puff the Magic Giant. That's who's in there now.
I thought it was Puff the Magic Dragon.
Yeah, well, I think he's trying to tell us something.
Oh.
At first, I checked out the most out-of-the-way clubs. I figured that Wilson was new. He'd have to start at the bottom and work up. But after three real dives, I realized I was all wrong. Maybe a sane person would do it this way, but Wilson, he'd have picked up his skis and headed right for the biggest, glossiest club in town. Ladies' Night Out on Yonge Street. And now, I realized I was wrong about something else, too. Just asking after Wilson, that wouldn't get me very far. Sue had given me a better idea.
Yeah, the walker.
The walker. You look nervous.
Nah.
You haven't worked here before. Oh, yeah, well, relax. It's strictly a no full nudity policy here. Besides, it's all in the buns. You know, cute buns, a flat stomach, and a ton of personality. And from what I can see, you got it made.
Oh, thanks.
Shy works, too. Shy works great.
How about skis?
Skis?
Yeah, have you ever seen anyone come in here like that? Did a ski act?
No. Yes, Mr. Lucan. Well, there's a young man, the walker. He's here to see you. No, he wasn't booked. He just kind of walked in. Oh, I don't know. Do you have an agent?
No.
No. Okay. You can go up. You go through that door, and there's a flight of stairs, first door on the top, and to your right.
I knocked on the first door on the right. No answer, so I opened it. A tall man in a pearl gray suit and a soft-spoken tie stood across the room looking at something through a window. He was what people in Big River would call a big man. Ample belly, large face. His hair so black it seemed to shimmer, combed straight back off his forehead. When he turned to look at me, I could see his eyes were a startling blue.
Hello there.
Mr. Lucan?
Come over here for a minute. Help me out.
What is it?
That's a good question. What is that?
I went over to the window, looked down. Chairs up on top of all the tables, an old guy dragging a vacuum cleaner around, two people sitting down by the stage, a man clapping, keeping time to some music, I guess, looking over enthusiastic, a woman smoking, watching, expressionless. And up on the stage, a young guy with long blonde curls bumping, grinding, and doing some weird things to a balloon.
Puff the Magic Giant.
Yeah. Is he a friend of yours?
No. Sue told me. Downstairs?
Oh.
I can't hear a thing. Is this room soundproof?
Yes. So, what do you think? Is he any good? Should I hire him?
It's hard to tell when you can't hear the music.
No. Well, no, it's easier to tell. No. Humor. Virility. Grace. What's being communicated? This guy is saying, I'm a jerk. So, you've dropped by.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's sit down. Let's talk.
Okay.
The walker. Is that right?
Yeah, well, it's from Walker. Walker Devereaux? That's my name?
Walker. I'm always on the lookout for fresh new talent, and believe it or not, I do like what you communicate.
You do?
Yeah, sure. But don't look so surprised. It's a sixth sense. When you've been in the business as long as I have, you kind of, you know right away. Walker?
Yeah?
For the right personality with the right training, this is a dynamite business. You can make a great deal of money in a very short time.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm here. So how do I book an audition? Do I, like, talk to Sue?
Oh, no. You talk to me.
Oh.
Do you like Sue? Is she pretty?
Oh, yeah.
Do you like girls?
Sure.
Well, it helps in this business to like girls, doesn't it?
No problem.
How old are you, Walker?
18.
And you come from the city?
Oh, no, I come from this, real small town, kind of a crossroads north of Kingston.
Oh, so you're staying with friends?
No, I don't know anyone. I just got into town. I'm staying at this room on Shooter Street, trying to make my money last as long as I can, you know.
Yeah, I know. It's hard to be all alone.
Yeah.
I'll be very truthful with you. I think you have good potential, but I just don't have anything for you right now.
Oh.
And if you come from a crossroads, local hotels, wet T-shirt contests, that kind of carry on.
Yeah.
Well, then you'll need a great deal of work too. You see, am I right?
I guess so.
Well, then, say it. I need a great deal of work.
I need a great deal of work.
Okay. Look, I'm going to give you a chance. You call me crazy, but here. There's $200.
Oh, now, no.
You take it. Now, come on, here.
Jeez,
There. Well, that's the boy. Now, I'd like you to stay put for a couple of weeks. Just hang around your room, find a place, maybe to work out a little weight training. Do you have a phone number?
Yeah, there's a phone in the hall.
Okay, I'll take your number, and when I get an opening, I'll call you in a couple of weeks, okay?
Oh, gee, that's great.
Well, Walker, kind of keep this to yourself. I mean, Sue, everybody, you know, there's a lot of jealousy in the business.
Right.
And I've got a sound system at my place that will knock your head off. I mean, lights, stage, everything. We can work on your routine, but it's got to be hush-hush, right? You understand?
Sure.
Well, all right, let's shake on it. Friends?
His hand was large and fat and soft. His eyes seemed kind of lazy, far away. He scared the hell out of me.
You what?
I followed the guy home.
Why?
I don't know. He just seems... Wilson would think this guy was the neatest guy in the world.
Yeah, but you don't even know if Wilson was there.
He'd go there. Krista, it was like I was Wilson. It would have been the same thing.
So what are you going to do now?
I'll wait until dark, sneak around the house, see if I can see anything through the windows.
Oh, great. So where are you?
Right now, the corner of Spadina Road in Lonsdale.
Forest Hill Village, big houses.
Oh, yeah, Lucan's house. Whew, it's a big sucker. 128 Point Clear Road. If you don't hear back from me in a couple of hours, call Inspector Kiss.
Walker, what'll I say?
Beats me. There was a wing on each side of Lucan's massive old house, running back and forming a courtyard full of overgrown shrubs and dead leaves. There were red security stickers on all the windows and all the doors. If I tried to get in, the place would light up like a Ferris wheel, and Lucan would come running. I'd already seen him, through a window halfway down the east wing, sitting in a little office making telephone calls. Most of the windows were dark. A couple of lighted windows upstairs, a light at the back of the house. I sat down on a cold cement bench, stared up at the house, thinking about Wilson. Ski man, with his backpack and his duffel bag and his ears that stuck out too far, looking like Alfred E. Newman with a sharp haircut. full of dreams. And then an old woman came out the back door, walked a little ways into the courtyard, holding her apron in her hands, then let it go in a flapping motion, breadcrumbs flying into the dark for the birds. And then she turned and went back into the house, through the door, and the house didn't light up like a Ferris wheel. And then I knew it was simple. Just go in through the door.
Hello?
Oh. Hi.
Where are you going?
Desmond
is not upstairs.
He isn't?
No. He's doing his homework.
Oh.
He can't come out to play until he's finished.
Right.
Oh, I know who you are. You're Danny Miles. I know your father. He delivers the ice, doesn't he? Oh, he's a very nice man. He tries very hard not to dirty the floor.
Thanks.
Desmond has so many friends. He must be the most popular boy in all of Port Credit by now. It's hard to believe. We could hardly get him out of his room.
Desmond, he's working in that little office on the other side of the house?
Mm-hmm. That's Desmond's workroom. But you can wait for him if you like.
Can I wait for him? Can I wait with the other boy?
The other boy?
Yes, with the red hair.
Oh, he's not here anymore. He had to leave. Desmond said he had to leave.
Where was he?
I'm not allowed to go down there. That's Desmond's playroom. He's very particular.
But the other boy was down there. So I can go down there, can't I?
He likes friends. He's so popular.
I know. And I can surprise him. Like it's his birthday. He'd like that. Please.
She hesitated for a moment. And then she led me down a hall and pointed to a door leading down a flight of carpeted stairs. I put my finger to my lips. She did the same. Then I turned and hurried down.
Wilson? Hey, Wilson.
I felt along the edge of a wall, flicked on a light. It was a large, low-ceiling room, mirrors, stage lights, speakers, a bar, weight equipment, just like Lucan had said. I crossed the room, went down a narrow plasterboard hallway that ended...
Wilson! Hey!
...at a slab door. Like an apartment door. A key sticking out of the lock on the outside. I turned it. Opened.
Wilson? Are you in here?
The room was pitch dark. I felt my way across it. Bumped into the end of the bed. Put my hand out. Felt... a leg under a sheet, moved my hand up, touched a shoulder.
Mm-hmm. Don't.
Wilson? Is that you?
Walker?
Uh-huh.
Oh, God.
What are you doing? What's wrong with you?
I don't know. It keeps giving me something. I can't move my legs. I'm scared. I'm scared.
Come on. You have to move. Try. Get up.
I can't. Come on. You have to.
Oh. I hauled him up, bumped into a table and a lamp beside the bed, snapped the lamp on. Wilson, he looked like the skin around his eyes was black. His whole body was trembling.
Let's go. Wait. Get the other guys.
What?
The other guys. Get them too. He's always talking about the other guys. Down there.
Wilson was looking across the room towards a curtain. I left him, sitting on the edge of the bed, walked over, pulled it open. There were wooden stairs leading down, peeling paint on crumbling white stones, the old foundation of the house. Darkness. Cool. Musty air.
Hello there.
Walker,
Nice to see you again, Walker.
Walker?
My friend's sick. I'm taking him out of here.
Oh, I don't think so. It's best he stay here with me. He's my friend.
With that, he pulled out what looked like a long piece of piano wire with wooden handles taped to the ends and smiled at me, like a wolf sizing up a lamb chop.
Oh, God!
Okay. Okay.
I kind of hung my head and moved back towards the bed. The trouble with big guys, sometimes they overestimate the intimidation factor. Just step in, fill up a room, and everybody's supposed to go limp. He stepped forward, his blue hooded eyes sliding towards Wilson for one moment. And when they slid back towards me, I was suspended in midair, knees pressed tight to my chest, just like Willie Lowe taught me at the Martial Arts Academy over Smith's Grocery Store on Main Street in Big River. His eyes kind of opened in surprise, and both my boots crashed into his face.
Man, I'm sick. I'm sick.
It's okay. It's okay.
Did you look in?
No.
Did Wilson?
Mm-mm. Inspector Kiss told us. It was an old wine cellar, a big air conditioning unit. The bodies were still, like, preserved. Loners, drifters, street kids. He had a whole gang down there. His gang.
Walker. How do you get over something like that?
That's why I didn't look in.
But you know. You were there.
Yeah.
And Wilson, too.
They're keeping him in the hospital. They said for at least a week to make sure the drugs are all out of his system. Mm. He's not saying much. I mean, about what happened. At least they'll drop Lucan into a deep, dark hole now, keep him there for the rest of his life. Krista?
Yeah?
You'll never know. Like, how good you look to me right now.
You'd say that about anybody, right now.
Uh-huh. Krista. Bullshit.
Just heard Midnight Cab, Episode 11, The Mystery of the Friendless Man by James W. Nichol. Featured in the cast were David Ferry as Walker and Jacqueline Samuda as Krista. You heard Stuart Hughes as Wilson, with Christina Nichol as Sue and Miriam Newhouse as Mother. Special guest Heath Lamberts played Lucan. Music for the series is composed by Milan Kimlicka, and the casting consultant is Linda Grierson. The recording engineer is Joanne Anka, with sound effects by Matt Wilcott. The series production assistant is Nancy Dow. Midnight Cab is produced and directed in Toronto by Bill Howell.